the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show that celebrates all things creating and stories. And I'm so excited about today's show. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. But first, let's start with a question. Is the world a big place or a small place? As the world connects through developing technologies, we often ponder this question. Consider the rapid proliferation of new ways of learning about the world. First photographs and telegrams, then mail and telephones, media, the internet. Each of these advancements have become more accessible to us on a daily and personal basis. We don't rely on encyclopedias or nightly 6 o'clock newscasts or documentaries to discover the world. We can learn about people and places around the world with a click of a few keys or the push of a few buttons. Maybe the answer to the question, is the world a big place or a small place, isn't as important as our relationship to the vision of the world and place in it to make it a better world. So the answer lies in how we connect with the world. The key is being curious about the world. We should engage in big and small ways. We can engage with the stories of our neighbors and coworkers and community, and we need to wonder about the news of the world and be curious about the world. Maybe asking the question, how does it feel best to engage in big and small ways with the world? Maybe that will begin your engagement with the world. And your engagement matters, and you have value. That's probably the most important thing I want you to hear today, that your engagement matters and you have value. And I believe engagement with people matters, and everyone's story, of course, matters. We are the world, as the song goes, and our goals should be to align our needs with our actions. Either big or small is fine. In the world that helps you and us move through this time, whatever that time feels like to you, because that's one thing we know that keeps changing. So today in the Art Zany Radio studio, I'm excited to welcome artist and educator Stephanie Cox and professor and filmmaker Sharif Kieda to preview their talk and comic book about South African Nokutela Medima Dube and her connection to Northfield. You can get more information at stephmcox.com or at carleton.edu directory, then the Professor C. Kieda, K-E-I-T-A. Sharif Kieda teaches Francophone literature of Africa and the Caribbean, as well as advanced languages courses at Carleton College. He's a native of Mali and has published books and articles on both social and literary problems in contemporary Africa. His special interests include the novel and social change in Mali, oral tradition and the relationship between music, traditional and modern, literature and culture in Africa. Professor Kieda is also an award-winning filmmaker with the trilogy of films about some of the founding figures of the African National Congress of South Africa. My other guest, Stephanie Cox, is a senior lecturer in French at Carleton College. She enjoys bringing artists to campus to connect with community and explore how we can talk about identity through art. Stephanie is an illustrator who enjoys historical research, collaboration, and bringing back to life overlooked female historical figures who deserve the limelight. Her collaborations include Lulu White, Queen of Diamonds, Chronicles of a Black Madam in New Orleans with Natalie Rec, and Finita La Gringa, a Cuban-American in search of her past with Caridad Jimenez. So this presentation is called A Zulu in New York, and it's going to be at the Northfield Public Library on Thursday, the 16th of January, 2025, from 5 to 6. That's in the atrium at the library. And it asks the question, what is the connection to South Africa's Nokutela Medima Dube? I put the accent on the wrong part. Dube. Sharif Kiyat and Stephanie Cox present their comic book about her life using photos from his historical research and images from her artwork with a prepared slideshow. And so I cannot wait for you to hear more about this story. And also want to mention the Making Comics Workshop on Saturday, this Saturday, January 11th, 2025, from 1 to 3 at the Northfield Public Library Bunday Room. And that is your introduction to making comics. They're going to start a story project in these hours, and no experience is necessary, but come with a story idea or a character or something you want to develop. And you'll do some doodling and collaborative activities to get all of us connected. And so we'll give everyone that was the world of computers interrupting. A phone thought I was talking to it, not mine. But anyway, we'll keep moving on. So I hope you'll sign up for that. You can get all that information at mynpl.libcal.com and go to their events page and find those events. So I'm going to get you started with our conversation with Stephanie Cox and Sharif Kiyat on Art Zany Radio. Well, welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's such a thrill to have you here today. Let's start off with some introductions so you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your art world. We'll start with Stephanie.
Hi, thank you very much for having us. My name is Stephanie Cox, and I teach at Carleton. I teach French and cross-cultural studies, but I'm also an illustrator on the side. I make comics, and I've been doing this for about 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, it's so great to talk to you about this project and to hear all the details. So I can't wait to learn more. Sharif, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Sharif Keita, a longtime resident of Northfield now. It's almost 40 years that I've been living in town.
Oh, my goodness.
Teaching at Carleton College in the French department. So I teach French, all levels of French, but also in the Africana Studies department, and also in media studies, in the media studies program.
Because you're a filmmaker as well.
Yes, I'm trying to be. I'm still learning, yes. So, I mean, I'm so excited that in 2025, I'm taking my first steps into the graphic novel thanks to the talented colleague of mine, Stephanie Cox, who is such a illustrator extraordinaire. So because of this collaboration, you know, we'll be able to tell a story from far away, but also a story from Northfield.
Yeah, and let's start that story. But first, I guess I want to learn how to pronounce her name, Nokutela
Dube.
Dube.
Yes.
I'm working on that.
It's a Zulu name.
Yeah, so I want to know a little bit about, because when I say Zulu, I have like a little idea, but tell me a little more about what that means.
Yes, well, the Zulus are an ethnic group. They call themselves a nation that is part of the modern-day South Africa that were colonized by the British, and it was located today in what they used to call in the past, the province of Natal, the colony of Natal, which was a British colony. But today they call it KwaZulu-Natal. So they keep the colonial name, but they add the Zulu kingdom, KwaZulu-Natal. So yeah, that's in South Africa.
And is it like a region of South
it's
Africa?
It's a province.
Province.
Because South Africa has 11 provinces. So this is one of the provinces. And it's the most populous one, in fact. Yes.
So that helps us to orient ourselves a little bit with this story. But I'm wondering how it is that each of you kind of came in connection with her story and what attracted you to the story. Tell us some. You want to start with Stephanie? Sure. How did you, you know, come across this story? It's something really fascinating.
Yeah, well, my bit will be short because it's basically because of Sharif. ever since when I arrived here 17 years ago, started talking to Sharif in the hallway. He was my colleague, and his projects were all very fascinating to me. And he was telling me about the Wilcoxes and John Dube and his wife Nokutela. And so I just thought it was a fascinating story. I started thinking this would be great as a story for our school children, to inspire them. I can tell more later, but that's just my bit. I just heard it from Sharif and I just thought it was fascinating.
Well, you are so enthusiastic about so many things. I love that about you, Sharif, and this story. But you've been telling parts of this story and making these connections for a lot of years.
Yes, because all along I was telling Stephanie that this story was really turning into a film, into several films, really. It's a long story. They took three documentaries to tell the story. So
yeah.
And so Stephanie simply, you know, she took over to really give it an extension, you know, through a graphic novel, which to me was just fascinating. So, but let's talk a little bit about the story itself and its connection to Northfield.
Yes, I'm sure people
are
curious.
This is a story of missionaries. You know, I mean, you know, in the past and even today, yeah, people beat up a lot on missionaries for some of the things that they did in different places that were not of the best kind.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really one story of missionaries doing really the right thing. In a sense that, you know, they went, this couple, William Cullen Wilcox, and his Northfield-born wife, Ida Bell Clary, who was born in town here, went to high school here.
What year are we talking?
Well, they got married in 1881.
Wow.
Can you imagine? And she was born in 1858. So she, right a few years after the town was really settled.
Mm-hmm.
So she was one of the first children born in this town.
Mm.
Imagine that young girl at age 21 as a newly married, woman, taking off to go to the land of the Zulus.
Mm.
I mean, imagine that.
No, I can't.
Imagine how intrepid this woman was.
And what that, even just the journey to get there. Mm.
That's right.
It would have been something that would be an adventure.
Exactly. Not only that, in people's mind in those days, going to Africa was going to death. I mean, it was called the Dark Continent.
Mm.
It was also the Zulus, particularly, had been presented in Western media, both popular and, you know, even scientific, as the savages.
Mm.
So imagine this young woman, after college, telling her parents, well, my husband and I, we are going to go to the land of Zulus. I mean,
yeah, you think about what they would have even known, nothing other
that's
than
right.
those other strange, like it's a strange land.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting is that she, you know, after arriving there, would write periodically to her mother to describe their lives over there,
mm-hmm.
how exciting their lives were over there, so that the public of Northfield could know something about, you know, the land of the Zulus,
mm.
you see? So she becomes almost an unofficial correspondent.
Are those letters also published in the Rice, in the
yes,
Rice County Journal?
Those letters, some of them for a number of years, because I think some years burned down. Familiar story small town newspapers.
Mm.
So fire always causes a lot of destruction.
Yeah.
So for a number of years, yes, the letters were are available on microfilms.
Mm.
So every 3 months, you know, between 1881, in fact, between the moment when they took the boat, she started describing the experience, you see? And up until, I would say, 1883 beginning. And then the letters were picked up by the Northfield News, or at least news of their coming back to town. So one can follow their journey. You know, in fact, one of the early, you know, appearances in Northfield News was a lecture that William Wilcox gave at the Ware Auditorium, which is today the Grand.
Yes, right. I've heard about that building.
In 1900, he gave a lecture about the Anglo-Boer War, which was the war between the Boers, the people of Dutch descent, the Huguenots who went there, you know, to settle.
In South Africa.
Ah. And the British were the colonizer who came and took over. So the two white nations were fighting. It's called the Anglo-Boer War.
This is fascinating.
Exactly.
I imagine everybody who was in town wanted to be there to
hear
that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. So at the Grand, which probably was fairly new around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Northfield News picked up on these kind of things. You see? And the couple, sometime when they would come back to town, they would stay at the Nutting House.
Which is
J.C. Nutting would be their host. Because J.C. Nutting was the Congregationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Congregational minister. So they would stay with J.C. Nutting. So another connection, not only to the town, but to Carlton today, mm-hmm. you see, and so forth. So anyway, so William Wilcox and Ida Bell became missionaries of the American Board, which was a missionary group. Okay, so they went there really, and they realized quickly that they were not going to settle for the segregation that existed even on mission land, that South Africa was a land of segregation from the beginning. It was the system was imposed by the British, but they didn't want really to settle for that. So they tried to break from it and reach out to, you know, the local people, okay, and really educate them in other ways than just learning to read and write the Bible. They wanted to empower people. So as part of that effort to empower people, they educated John Dube. As a young boy, 16-year-old boy, they brought him to the U.S., to Oberlin, the town of Oberlin.
Is that in Ohio?
In Ohio.
Okay.
So that he could finish high school. He had not even finished high school yet. So he did 3 years in high school there. Because this family wanted him to get education that he could not get to in South Africa.
I wonder if he felt the same way about his journey to America as they felt about, you know, their journey down to South Africa, like what he thought the America was like.
Very, very interesting. In fact, yes, that's right. And it talked in a place, certain place, it talked about his first shocks. Shock, you know, just being in America and even eating ice cream.
Of course.
Yeah, anyway, so they also educated Nokutera, this young Zulu girl, who will later become John Dube's wife. You see? So there is this web of people.
Right.
That were connected through the medium of education, through the link of education. So Nokutera then, as a young girl, was the student of this Northfield teacher, Ida Bell Wilcox. You see?
So, and how did she meet John then if he came to the States?
No, they all grew up on the mission land in South Africa.
Okay.
So John went to the boys' school and Nokutela went to the girls' school. You see?
Mm.
So they knew each other, the families knew each other. But John came to study in the U.S., but I guess they maintained their contact. So in 1892, John came in 1887 with the Wilcoxes, who had already spent 6 years, you know, 6 years in South Africa. So they were coming back. They brought this boy with them. So John finished high school. And in 1892, after spending 2 years at the college, he became very homesick. So he decides to go back home. And then he marries Nokutela at that time.
And
then they come back together to study.
And did she ever come back here to Northfield?
No, you see. And John, I think, never really made it to Northfield. But when they were in their full activities, they had started a school in 1900. Because when they came to the U.S., they went to New York. That's where they went to study. Mm. So John went to study theology at the Union Missionary Training Institute, which was a school for missionaries. And then Nokutela studied also there, but she studied home economics and music. Okay? So, but later, after they went back to start their school, yes, they would tour the country, at least the eastern part. They would even come to the Midwest. For instance, I know they came to Grinnell, which was part of a network of colleges that were part of the American Board. You see?
Ah.
So, but they would follow the railroad. So you could take the train from Grinnell somehow to Chicago. So, but they never made it to Minnesota or to Northfield.
Well, I think one word that you said in that story was the word empowerment. And I imagine, Stephanie, that that's what grabbed you about her story. And what has been written prior to this about Nokutela, or what were you able to learn about her, you know, being and studies and, you know, her, because that's really what she excelled at in doing as well.
Yeah, and actually there's not much written about Nokutela. In fact, Sherif is really at the front, the front line of that. So in a way, I'm working on another project where about a woman named Lulu White in New Orleans, and working on her story has made me realize what an empowering story it is for a woman to have pushed beyond the boundaries that society has put in front of her. Mm-hmm. So when I was hearing about the story of Nokutela, I thought it was very exciting and a very important message for mm-hmm. to understand that not just a woman was involved in opening a school, but also her husband John Dube was remembered for this, and mm-hmm. she wasn't.
And that's true of a lot of things that the historical record would not include, yes. necessarily the female perspective or, you yes. know, the woman's story as mm-hmm. well. And yes. so what kind of resources were you able to find?
Well, about Nokutela, Sherif is my resource. And thankfully, he's done a lot of research for a long time, and he's talked to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. When we're doing the comic book, I did research about other couples who had who had founded schools,
yes.
because in the comic book she talks about her role models, mm-hmm. yeah. Which was really fascinating because, for example, she was inspired by Booker T. Washington.
That's a name we all know,
right?
From
right?
American history.
Yep. And he was the first president of Tuskegee Institute.
And the founder of Tuskegee.
Actually, he wasn't the founder.
Oh,
he wasn't the founder.
Okay.
He was a former slave.
Okay.
Who had started it, and a former slave owner funded it.
Okay.
And so in the research, I was able to find out some about this.
That's right, see?
So, and then Booker T. Washington was hired on as a first president or principal. So what I found out about, so I'm mentioning this because in the meantime of doing research about Booker T. Washington, I realized he had three wives. Sadly, they
different
had,
times.
They
yes.
had been, they were deceased.
Yeah.
But the first one was there when he became president of Tuskegee, and she was active. And then the second one had been a teacher. Mm-hmm. Davidson, the name escapes me, but I wrote it down so many times.
It's okay. Anyway, people can ask you at the event.
That's right. And then Margaret is mm-hmm. Margaret Washington is the third wife. Whose name you see on buildings in the Tuskegee Institute today, or in Tuskegee University today. So it was really interesting because here there was a mirror image of John and Nokutela having worked together.
Yeah.
And you know, as big projects like this happen, you need a partnership. And how powerful is a partnership to get some of these things done, especially when it's a sort of this kind of a big dream.
Mm-hmm.
So here, Booker T. Washington's example is also a reflection of that. Have doing something very important and needing a partnership with and a couple, I think it's a story that doesn't get told a lot.
No,
that's true. And there was one piece. This is referenced on your website, Stephanie, about an interview that she did in Brooklyn, where she gives the following quote about the school that she founded with her husband in South Africa. And I found this absolutely fascinating. I hope we can dissect it a little bit. She said, "I will tell you why we are here. We do not want to teach them all your civilization, only enough to be better, only enough to better their condition,
that's right.
not to make them unnatural and unhappy." That's and that right. last line is what I highlighted because I thought she really was, you know, a strong woman, and she knew what she wanted to do. So, what did you learn from that interview, or how do you dissect that phrasing, especially when she talks about unnatural and unhappy?
Yes.
So, I read multiple interviews she gave in the research that I was doing, and what I found from all these interviews is her voice and the presence that she has that comes off in what she says, and she seems to have a very clear idea about what she wants and what she wants for in order to uplift her people. She had certain ideas about. So, for example, with the times that she lived in the United States, she was dressing warmly part of the year, and she was dressing as American women were dressing. And she was asked. I don't know if she was asked specifically or she mentioned she had opinions about. about how women dressed up.
Western civilization. American civilization.
That's true.
You see, yeah. Because that was the title. You know, the title was A Zulu Woman Who Has Ideas About Our Civilization. Yeah. You see.
Yeah. And so then she turned that on them.
She gave them an earful. She told them what it meant to be a Zulu woman, sure of her identity, sure of her culture, and proud of it,
mm-hmm.
and the image of that was prevalent in the West of the savage just coming to light by embracing Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So she told them very clearly, I'm not here because I'm enamored of your civilization. No, I'm here because I have a practical goal in mind. I just want to bring back to my people the ways and means by which they can better their own condition.
I think that's so phenomenal. And I bet that would have been really radical, right?
Oh, very radical.
And she would have, would have been unexpected to hear this from someone who was
Who was a woman first?
Yes.
And was a Zulu woman.
Yes.
Because they emphasized that, a Zulu woman. You see?
On all the headlines, it was always a Zulu this and that. And then that's why I suggested that we keep this wording for the title of our comic book.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly, yes. And also it was a moment that we both recognize, you know, as a moment where really America discovers Nukutela, meets Nukutela, and Nukutela reveals herself to Americans. I mean, and she was probably one of the first Zulu women to be recognized like that because their names were never mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in the Northfield, essay, they signed her name. So how many Africans, colonized people, were identified in the West by their first name or by their names? But she was one of the first.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So her voice was heard on this side of the Atlantic earlier than John Dube's own voice. Yeah, because she was heard here in 1882.
Wow.
Her school essay was published in Northfield in 1882. John Dube became somebody only maybe in the late 19th century, around 1899, when people started to know him, you know, through his tours around the country as a student raising funds.
That's so fascinating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So for a Zulu woman, to have such a powerful voice, and also both in a concrete sense, she was also a singer.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the most beautiful voices from Africa to be heard around that time in America. She used to sing in click songs. She used to sing clicks because in Zulu language, I couldn't do it. But Miriam Makeba, if you want to hear.
I have heard some of her music.
Yes. That's right. So that's the example of a click. I mean, all kinds of sound that's so musical.
Yeah.
So imagine that being transformed into a song. So she would sing those to raise funds for their projects.
Mm-hmm.
So she became not only a voice that was heard through writing, but she became also a voice, a musical voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now, thanks to the graphic novel, we are going to hear her voice again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thanks to Stephanie's talent as an illustrator.
I want to talk about that. And I definitely want to mention again the event that's happening at the Northfield Public Library, A Zulu in New York. That's happening on Thursday, the 16th of January, 2025, from 5 to 6 in the atrium at the Northfield Public Library. I think you can register for that. But if you don't do that, it's okay to just come to that event.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where there'll be some images and artwork, and people get a chance to see some of that story, and there'll be more details about the story. But I find this, you know, endlessly fascinating. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you feel it's important to bring that story forward now. What are you feeling about her story that you're finding that resonates with our times or culture, the things that stand out that you want to bring forward? And then we'll talk about the idea of putting it together in the comic book.
Well, I think it's very important to tell stories about people who have pushed boundaries, who have dared to dream. So as a Black woman, I think it's important to tell stories about marginalized situations. I'm thinking about the Lulu White, my other character, actually, because I'm thinking that in the context of the American history.
Yes.
I think it's important. in the as Sherif is describes to me South Africa and his time there, and what he's discovered while doing the documentary films, and also the trips with the student, right?
Yes, that's right.
It sounds like there aren't many people like Noku Tele whose stories are still being told.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a lot of the things that the Wilcoxes were fighting for, the Black South Africans' right to loan to own land.
Own land. That's
that
right.
hasn't budged a lot.
No,
it sounds
no,
like,
no.
according to the little bit of research I was doing, I know Sherif can speak more to that.
Mm-hmm.
So as he was telling me about the situation, I was thinking, wow, like it. So children and youth in South Africa seem maybe they don't know because they were born, you know.
Yep.
They were born and the situation was as it is. So maybe they don't know that women like this and men like John Dube fought and spent their entire lives focused and obsessed on doing anything that would take to uplift their people. So
exactly.
I think that that's really, really... an important message.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about the importance of the story today?
I would add to that the fact that, yes, you know, women's voices and women's heroism or sheroism is not talked about much.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in my little blurb sometime, I read that it seems that the role of women is reduced to just a footnote in the epic of brave man. I mean, this is the case. And it doesn't apply just to Africa, but to the U.S. too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Noku Tele's story is a story that should also resonate with people in the U.S., and particularly women, whose voice has been silenced.
Well, and what were some of the changes that they were able to achieve, you know, in their you know... protests and
well,
empowerment movement and...
Well, building a school. I mean, in those days, they were the first to have built, Black South Africans, to have built a school independent of the colonial government.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the school that is known today as their school, Otlange, which was founded in 1900, that was not the first school they started. They started a school in 1894 already, right after they got married. As if to give a symbol of their love and their commitment to the people, their mission was to start a school, which they started and left in the care of her brother while the two of them came to study in the U.S. to get a degree and then fundraise to go start this other school, which today is known as the school where Nelson Mandela voted in 1994. The Otlange High School in Durban, north of Durban, is where Nelson Mandela chose to go vote in 1994 after he left prison, after he was freed, at the elections that were multiracial and multi-party, and it's the election that made him president of South Africa. He chose to go vote at that school because he said that this is where everything started. This is where their struggle started,
and that brings out the, you know, the education was so important to changing the world,
right.
And that still resonates today. I think
that's
and
right.
So when you were looking at this project and wanting to bring that story forth, what worked well to do that in the form of a comic?
Did
you try other things first?
Well, I have a tendency to see panels when people tell me stories. So I think a lot of people's stories will, to me, be great as a comic. But I think the medium is great because you can do it with very little money.
Mm.
So you can tell the story. All you have to do is work really hard. at drawing, at learning how to make a visual, make the visual storytelling compelling and clear and all that. I also think it spans across the many ages in terms of audience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that comics are for kids, but they're actually just for everyone. I think the content might then sometimes dictate what kind of public it's for, but people's stories, people's bravery, everyday yep. bravery or amazing bravery is a great story for all ages. Mm. I just think that the visual storytelling is super, super compelling because there are less barriers to it in terms of how much language you have to mm-hmm. have to understand comics. Mm-hmm. People usually know that they're not going to come up with big words that they're going to want to look up, typically. And so, and then when things aren't super clear, then the visual aspect, with things aren't clear in the writing, mm-hmm. the visual aspects accompanies. And it's sort of a, just like being in the presence of art, there's an experience behind that involves the viewers, the readers, mm-hmm. so that they're kind of, it's kind of like a little mind trip in a way. So I think that, and there are studies that have shown that comic books are really good for children, for encouraging children to read, mm-hmm. especially those who have less motivation or sometimes more mm-hmm. difficulty, which can go together. So there's so many things that I can say about why comics are awesome. yes. But I thought that this would be a good story because, mm-hmm. yeah, because it seems like, I think comics also is known for like a hero story medium.
I think that's how it used to be. I think it's changing.
That's true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. But sort of like typically people, when I say that I do comics, you know, sometimes they'll immediately say something about superheroes. I'm like,
or do they say things about the funnies, right?
That, yes.
That we used to be the in funnies. The newspapers. Or maybe they still are.
Or their children who love comics or their nephews. Which all of this is true. But like you say, yes, it's really, really a medium that's really developed. Or at least a lot of the artists doing amazing work have gotten more and more more exposure, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think telling stories from history in that way is really engaging because it mm-hmm. gives you a different way of approaching rather than reading a textbook about
yes.
you know the dates and the times,
yes.
and you get to like maybe visualize the surroundings and mm-hmm. immerse yourself a little bit more in the story.
Right.
And I think one thing people should know is that you are teaching that class, which is happening this weekend. So it's Saturday, January 11th, called Making Comics. And it's a comics workshop for anyone 12 plus, mm-hmm. 1 to 3 at the library. That does require registration because we want to make sure we have enough materials for everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's happening in the Bunday room. And anything, who should come to that workshop or who are you hoping shows up to learn how to tell stories through this way?
Yeah, anyone who's either made comics before for fun or even, you know, professionally. Mm-hmm. I would love to get to know any kind of professional comic book artist here in town. But anyone who's wanted to tell a story visually and just doesn't really know how to do it or where to start or start it, but doesn't know, but needs someone or another community or a space or a person to do it with. My goal is to share some pointers that I've been given by professionals and that really, really sped up my process. And so, and I realized how really valuable it is to have a process because in these dreams that you have, these stories you want to tell, they don't get stuck in you. Mm-hmm. So I'm really eager to share what I've learned. So anyone who wants to tell a story who wants to develop a character to tell a story later mm-hmm. and then use the process that I will show them.
Well, and I've even heard writers get advice that it's a good idea to do some of this with their, you know, mapping their stories out, mm-hmm. just using some, you know, really rough sketches and some, you know, ways of defining the moments in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different ways that you can use it. And so I'm excited for you to offer that class. And I hope lots mm-hmm. of people go. The website, we've got a link on kymnradio.net to the Northfield Public Library mm-hmm. Section if you want to do that. Or you can go to my NPL and they'll get.com and they'll link that to you so you can get yourself registered. And just, you know, it's a way to engage with it. To begin the process.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And I really want to get across that if you don't have time to register, it's not a big deal. You can show up anyway, but it really helps me get enough supplies for everybody. But, you know, still show up even if you don't have time.
Yeah, exactly. And so for people that are coming to the event that's happening after that, the following week on the 16th, that's Thursday the 16th of January from 5 to 6, also at the library, but in the atrium. And that's Zulu in New York. What are you hoping that people take away from that talk? What do you want to, you know, what connections do you want us to make with that story?
Well, to realize that people from Northfield made a big impact on the global stage a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That the world has been global for a long time. Mm. And that it took some intrepid, you know, people from Northfield were really wanting to take the Northfield spirit. I would say the, you know, standing up to Jesse James and also helping the South Africans to stand up to the colonizer, you see. So that they took some of that spirit with them. So, it's important for us to get that perspective of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And there'll be a slideshow, as I understand. Yes, so there'll be some images that people will be able to, see the. Which is amazing that there are pictures from their life.
Mm-hmm. There are a few.
Not many.
I would very few, but they exist.
They exist, yes. And
I'll be showing those mm-hmm. And some of the drawings as well.
Yes.
And some of the sketches made from them.
And I'm also hoping that maybe this will be the beginning of a process of me showing my trilogy of films for the Northfield audiences, because people have been asking me where can we see this film. So maybe this could be a momentum, mm-hmm. you know, for doing that. So we could have public screenings of my trilogy of films that covers a whole web of people that were around John Dube and Nokutela.
I think that should happen.
Exactly. So maybe under the auspices of KYMN.
We'll work. We'll see what we can do.
A resolution, you know, a New Year resolution.
Yes. And exactly. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to think about, you know, what we do, you know, can't really change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an example of how you can make a difference.
That's
and
right.
how, you know, yeah. just to engage in and, you know, learn.
That's right.
To take things and to work collaboratively
exactly.
as well.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I really value. You know, the fact that, our department is pretty, you know, multidisciplinary
mm-hmm.
and multi-talented. So, I mean, you know.
Who would have thought?
we teach French to make an honest living, but we do this on the side. You know, being illustrators, being filmmakers, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I value because it makes life more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It makes teaching more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate our collaboration, Stephanie. Thank you so much for bringing your talent.
Well, and I think you mentioned too that you had to, you know, that there's just a portion of the story of her story that's told in this, because you want to just introduce people to her.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible there could be more evolutions of this, or how did you decide what to keep in and what you had to save for later?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we worked hard on that. We met mm-hmm. multiple times on mm-hmm. trying to figure out which parts of the stories, how the story, her story, what are the different parts of it,
mm-hmm.
And how in the world are we going to connect all of them?
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually what happened is that I decided to do a workshop mm-hmm. with the Center for Cartoon Studies. I had wanted to go there, and it was sort of making a budget, and then the pandemic happened. But then actually this turned out to be beneficial, because then that workshop went online. And I actually did, it was an intensive workshop, and the participants were all over the world. So it was really fabulous. And I was able to access the information that I needed for our project. And here what I did is I took a portion of the story that we had just worked. We had just worked together before the workshop. And the workshop teacher, his name is Paul Karasik. He's a professional cartoonist. And he said, well, just work on this and see what happens, just as for your own good,
mm-hmm.
you know, for your own learning. And what I did is what we have mm-hmm. is the interview with a journalist, Nokutela's interview with a journalist in New York.
In New York.
So that's what I developed, and it turned out to really work. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, you know, we'll just, I'll just write a grant to see if I could just put it together as a, like as a mini comic. Mm-hmm. And then with something in hand, then maybe we can think of, well, at least Sherif can continue to travel and do his symposiums and has to have something in hand to show, to show people in South Africa.
Yes.
But at least we can start with our own community here, right here in Northfield, and share the story here. And also share the story where children can give us, children and youth can give us feedback. Obviously, we want feedback from everyone.
Yes.
But since the book the book was thought about for just school children, school youth, we would really love the feedback of children and youth about the story.
So you were inviting people to bring the whole family then to to the event at the library. So
absolutely.
That folks can, and there will be, people will get to see the finished product.
Yes. Mm. Actually, they will. They can leave with it because I got a grant from the Southeastern
Minnesota
Southeastern
Arts
Minnesota
Council.
Arts Council. Thank you.
CMAC.
CMAC. And part of that, part of the grant, it funds the books that we made, which will be given away to whoever wants to show up. So if you want one, come and get one.
That's really exciting. Yes. And you know what I'm sitting here thinking is how... It's really fascinating to me that, that missionaries used to bring their, you know, pamphlets and their their messages, and they would bring them to the places they visit. And it's in essence, you're also, you know, doing that here, and then you're bringing some of those to South Africa.
Some to South Africa on the 17th, because I am doing a workshop at the for the benefit of the KwaZulu-Natal Film and Tourism Commission. Which is set, you know, in Durban. So I'm giving a workshop for young filmmakers, okay, around the what they call the Freedom Valley Heritage Route, which is where the area where the Dubes, John and Nkutela, were neighbors with Mahatma Gandhi.
Can you imagine?
Yes, they were neighbors. I mean, they knew each other. Okay, so in fact, the Gandhi family still, both families still live in the area. So it's a tourism route that South Africa is developing for really teaching the history to going to help to encourage people to go to places of memory.
Yes.
So my workshop with the young filmmakers is going to be focused on that. So it's going to be so great to have the comic book form to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it may give ideas to some more people to really engage with this history.
I think
and
that's
with the story.
It's
very
exciting.
Timely, very timely.
I think so too. And I think that just having those characters, because it's so easy to forget some of those stories. And if we don't keep telling them and introducing them to new generations,
That's right.
And also teaching them, you know, not just who they were, but how they made things happen.
Yes, that's right.
Because
that's right.
The world is always going to need people who can make things happen.
Yes. In the case of Nkutela, for instance, one of the achievements is that she popularized the song that is today the national anthem of South Africa.
As a singer?
As a singer. Because the song was composed by somebody else, by a pastor of the, what do you call it,
mission school?
No, the African Methodist Church.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that a branch? Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so the song was composed by Enoch Sontonga, but she took that choral song and added more words to it and started singing it with a school choir. And it really reflected the people's desire for freedom and desire for self-empowerment. So it's that song that, because of her agency and also the agency of the people that she trained who took the song around the country, it became the anthem of the struggle of black people. And then after 1994, it became the official anthem of South Africa.
That's so from really powerful.
Yes, and I should tell you that she was trained as a musician at the school of Inanda Seminary as a young girl on solfa notation books sent by women from Northfield to Ida Bell in South Africa, the solfa notation books.
Wait, wow. Tell me what more about those. I'm not familiar with those.
I mean, the solfa was a system of notation of music. Oh. I'm not a technician. I don't know much. But people who play music or who know music history, they will know what solfa is.
Is that how they got the things written down?
That's right, exactly.
Okay.
Because, so, you know, it's the five lines.
Oh, it's just the
structure
notes. Mm-hmm. So you can have right? somebody
I think
else.
There's more to it.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, it's an older even system.
Oh, okay, really?
But that were probably much more easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So Mrs. Wilcox, you know, at some point, thanks the woman of Northville for sending her solfa notation books, which she used to train those young girls among whom Nukutela was, who became later this great singer that became the voice of Africa, literally.
Wow.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a circle that...
I think we need to know this history.
We need to know this history.
And it's so good to, you know, have the story being told.
Yeah.
And I just really... I think this is very exciting for our community to be able to have access to your retelling and sharing of this story, and to inspire people through your comics as people can then also, you know, do their own work. Is there anything we missed that you want to make sure we add about the story and how we can, you know, what we'll be hearing at the event? Sharing this on the 16th of January at the Northfield Public Library, a Zulu in New York.
There's a lot. I mean, the story has lots and lots of parts.
Yes.
And
that's why we should say that, yes, in answer to your question, we are planning to continue the collaboration through this medium to tell more of her story.
Yeah, because I would think that now the next generation and the next generation have been inspired.
That's right.
And especially in South Africa. And so if we can bring what's happened with her story down there back here.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest thing about the world right now that those things are, I mean, you could be on a Zoom call this afternoon with somebody down there.
Exactly. That's right.
When I think part of the story that's really fascinating is how the story keeps finding Sherif. and hopefully that gets worked into the comic book too, because I think, and maybe somebody will ask the question, you know, why are you Sherif working on South Africa?
From Mali.
I was going to say you're not even from.
No, I'm not from there. You see, living in Northfield, as if somehow the forces or the spirits had decided that I had to come to Northfield and have behind my house the grave of the people thanks to whom Nukutela's story, was published in the Rice County Journal.
See what I mean?
So those people are buried behind my house next to the high school, the cemetery there. I used to live just, next to it. There was just the church between my bedroom and the cemetery. So how this story, you know, how an African from Mali happens to be there literally and be inspired by the people in those graves, you know, to connect them with South Africa. So again, that's a mystery we probably will have to tell one day.
Yes, I think it's a very
Stephanie
exciting story.
Has the talent to be able to put that in drawings.
It's been such a pleasure to learn. The main thing we want to do is encourage people to come to the talk, because there'll be an opportunity to ask questions.
Absolutely.
And maybe there's somebody who knows some more about this story.
Yes, you would love to.
That can add any details. Yeah. It's so exciting to see how the Northfield Historical Society, the Northfield News, and you know, all of those connections.
The Rice County Journal.
Yes.
Yes.
And the buildings that are still here.
Yes, the Methodist Church, just the old Methodist church.
Old one, right.
That's where they got married.
Mm-hmm. So, Wilcox. We saw the picture in the KYMN lobby.
That's right. Yes. Yes, that's where they got married in August 1882.
And I think it teaches us that those connections are there for everybody.
1881, rather, yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 1881.
Yes.
But
they aren't there unless we start being curious about each other and our stories. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah,
That is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, frankly, when I first came to this town, I never thought that this town here, this white town, and I was told Scandinavian town, had any connection to Africa in the 19th century.
Nobody would have guessed.
I could not have imagined that. So this story and the discovery changed the image of Northfield in my mind. and in my life experience, I mean, radically. Mm-hmm. Now I see Northfield differently. Mm. I see Northfield as the center of the world that I just happened to fall into. You see what I mean? Coming from Mali, I just fell into it. You see what I mean?
We all think this is a pretty incredible place.
It is an incredible place.
And so to be able to tell those stories to our listeners is what I love doing.
Yes.
I want to thank both of you for coming today. It's been my pleasure. I've just learned so much, and we'll be at the talk and remind people to also join us for that. So thank you to Shri Kieda and Stephanie Cox for joining me on Arts AM Radio.
Thank you so much
for this. Paula.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Paula. Yeah.
I want to thank my guests for sharing that incredible story. You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination. Stay tuned for a listing of some weekend events I want to remind you of in just a moment.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
And this is Paula Granquist. I'm back. I've got a couple events to remind you about. This weekend, on Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock, the doors open at the Armory Square Event Center. The music starts at 6 as Northfield musicians perform the music of Bob Dylan. I had a great conversation last week with Ray Coudray, Emmett Norrie, and Iris Harmelink, and I can't wait. I forget how many the total number of musicians that are going to be there. There are 17 acts with 60 musicians performing 46 songs. So you'll want to take that in. That's a fundraiser for the Northfield Fine Arts Booster. So I hope you go to that event and be generous with your donation at the door. And also on Sunday, I want to mention the fabulous event that's happening as part of the 411 concert series. It is Dan Chouinard with T. Michael Rambo, a name you may not know, but boy, he has sure done an incredible thing for four decades across many, many different mediums. He is a three-time Emmy winner, sang the national anthem before President Obama, spoke at Target Center, played Santa in Hallmark's 2023 movie Rescuing Christmas, and has had leading roles at the Children's Theater, the Guthrie, the Audrey, the Penumbra, and so much more. He's done a lot of hosting of events, too. I can't remember which one it was, but I was taking notes because I was so inspired by the things that he was saying. And so I hope you will join the Arts Guild for that. You can get tickets at northfieldartsguild.org and grab your tickets soon. That is Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. Hope you have a great weekend, and always remember to add some of that zany to your life. Take care, everybody.